Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, December 8th. Permian operators face greater scrutiny. U.S. Department of Energy Assistant Secretary says feds raise expectations amid drive to decarbonize its operations. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Brad Crabtree, Assistant Secretary, Fossil Energy and Carbon Management at the U.S. Department of Energy, opened the annual CO2 conference's Carbon Management Workshop with praise for his audience of Permian Basin oil and gas producers. They are safeguarding not only U.S. energy security, but global energy security, he said, something that is more important than ever. Quote, "The Permian Basin has stepped up to secure energy, with Permian Basin dried natural gas production up 40% between September 2019 and September 2022. As of 2021, new Permian Basin wells are averaging 960 barrels of oil equivalent per day, an all-time record," he said. Crabtree credited that growth to the industry's innovations, which have helped turn the U.S. into the world's largest oil and natural gas producer and largest exporter of liquefied natural gas. But, he cautioned, the industry faces greater scrutiny amid the drive to decarbonize its operations. There are, quote, "robust and comprehensive federal policies promoting carbon capture, sequestration, and restructuring contained in both last year's Bipartisan Infrastructure Act and this summer's Inflation Reduction Act. Both pieces of legislation contain billions to fund not just research and development, but pilot projects on a commercial scale," he said. "The goal should be developing centralized carbon transportation and storage hubs with shared infrastructure that can create economies of scale and then build them throughout the U.S. The Inflation Reduction Act expands the 45Q tax incentive for carbon capture projects, including direct air capture and carbon restructuring. A representative of one company told him they had 200 projects under consideration under the expanded 45Q, Crabtree said. Such infrastructure investment and expanded tax incentives, quote, will foster innovation, create high-wage jobs, improve the environment, and foster industry expansion, he said. It will deploy technology on an unprecedented scale, end quote. The challenge will be overcoming opposition from local groups, community leaders, local officials, farmers, and ranchers," he said. "That can be done by effectively engaging with them, listening to their concerns, and explaining the proposed projects and how they will work." His agency itself is taking a more regional approach to how it operates to better support proposed projects and how they fit into specific regions. The DOE is also working with other agencies, Department of Transportation, Department of the Interior, Department of Agriculture, Environmental Protection Agency, quote, "given the scope and scale and level of deployment we're anticipating," end quote. Addressing carbon capture's use in enhanced oil recovery, prevalent in the Permian Basin, Crabtree said while he is a proponent of EOR, there are misunderstandings about its benefits. He advised producers using CO2 to enhance oil recovery to focus on maximizing those projects to enhance environmental benefits. Quote, "going forward, the best way to show how positive EOR can be is to keep good projects and show the storage potential of EOR and how the climate can benefit. That will go a long way to showing EOR is a beneficial option," he said. Record start for sales tax collection. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Midland has set a new record for sales tax collected during the first quarter of a fiscal year. The City of Midland reported another $5.5 million in sales tax revenue collected in December, a record for a December in Midland, and a 36% increase compared to December 2021. That total raised the yearly total to $16.6 million, which is 32% higher than the first quarter of the last fiscal year. The city's fiscal year runs from October through the following September. The December collection marked the end of the first quarter of fiscal year 23. It is also greater than the previous best start to a fiscal year by 6%. In fiscal year 2019, the city collected $15.6 million during the first 3 months. That was a record year for sales tax, with more than $60 million collected. The fiscal year 2023 balance is also over budget by $2.6 million. December was the 14th straight month that the city reported a higher collection compared to the same month during the previous year. Only three times during that stretch did the city fail to show yearly growth of at least 20%. Sales tax revenue is generated by sales tax income from 2 months prior to collection. December collection is based on October sales. Business buzz. Upscale cocktail bar goes festive during the holiday season. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. Midlanders Lee Sanchez and Emilio Castellon, the owners of Sip House, aspire to bring an upscale, intimate cocktail bar with a big city feel to Midland when they founded the lounge about a year ago. Many Midlanders would say Sip House, which is located in the basement of the downtown Bank of America building, has done just that. Year-around, Sip House offers unique cocktails like the Smoking Gun. Flecha Azul Blanco with lime and agave served smoking in a glass dome, as well as classic cocktails like an Old Fashioned. In addition to having an extensive menu, Sip House allows for bespoke cocktails, which allows customers to create their own drink. The lounge gives Midlanders a distinctive experience all year, but around holidays and Halloween, Sip House creates a seasonally themed lobby and menu. Throughout December and into mid-January, Sip House is ornamented with Christmas decorations and offers new cocktails. Some of the new cocktails are Santa's Milk and Cookies, a cinnamon-infused tequila drink that comes with a fresh-baked cookie on the side, the Muletide Pear, a play on the classic mule with added pear vodka and apple cider. One of the most popular drinks is the Sip and Be Merry, which is a vodka pomegranate liquor and a little bit of cranberry juice, Sanchez said. Quote, "I don't necessarily feel like it's always a great thing," Sanchez remarked, "but most people have told me they don't feel like they're in Midland. That's not a great compliment to our city, but I think that's one of the things they feel like it's a big city amenity that they haven't seen before," end quote. Sanchez claimed that the idea for a Christmas-themed pop-up bar comes from visiting night spots around the country with a similar concept. Quote, "I've just never seen Midland actually do one, so I thought it'd be a great thing to bring to our smaller town," he said. Providing a big-city experience for Midlanders is what keeps Sanchez passionate about Sip House. Quote, "Honestly, I just felt like it's something that Midland was missing, as far as an upscale cocktail lounge," Sanchez said. He said season-adjusted pop-up bars bring customers to Sip House that they may not normally see. The owners are both from Midland and said Sip House is a way to keep people downtown so it can continue to be developed and invested in. On December 17th, Sip House will host a Christmas crawl, a bar crawl that includes a party bus shuttle, drink specials, a scavenger hunt, and ugly sweater contest. Tickets are $45.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, December 8th, 2022. Community Roundup. Living Nativity returns. Living Nativity at First Baptist Church will return for 3 nights, December 13th through the 15th, at the corner of N and Cuthbert. The event, according to First Baptist officials, is not a drive-by, but a get-out-of-your-car and experience the nativity scene. There is plenty of parking across the street in the church parking lot. First Baptist Church Christmas card to the community celebrating the birth of Jesus will take place from 7 to 8 p.m. each day. Hot chocolate will be served, and in addition to Christmas music playing while enjoying the nativity scene, something new has been added: a recording of the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke in both English and Spanish. Santa visits. The Santa photo experience, presented by Simon, will be open through Christmas Eve at Midland Park Mall. Hours are 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 6 p.m. on Sundays. Other Santa events at Midland Park Mall include Breakfast with Santa from 9 to 10 a.m. Saturday. City Christmas Parade. Anyone can be Santa. Lighted Christmas Parade, presented by the City of Midland Parks and Recreation Division, will be held Saturday beginning at 6:30 p.m. The parade will be held in downtown Midland, ending at Centennial Park. Blue Santa Toy Drive. The Midland Police Department is holding the Blue Santa Toy Drive. Blue and white striped collection boxes are out at the following locations: Midland Police Department, 601 North Lorraine, Bolero, 5320 West Loop 250, Rogers Ford, 4200 West Wall, Classic Honda, 3705 West Wall, Hillander School, 1600 West Wadley, Nally Pickle and Welch, 3800 North Big Spring. The last day to donate is Friday, so gifts can be distributed to local nonprofits from December 12th through the 22nd. Winter Wishes. The Midland Education Foundation is teaming with local businesses, churches, and private foundations to offer a special holiday event for educators. The Teacher Winter Wishes Spectacular will provide free classroom supplies for teachers, as well as other activities, including Christmas treats, games, door prizes, gift cards, and more. All teachers from Midland are welcome, including those from MISD, charter, and private schools. The event is scheduled for 3 to 7 p.m. December 19th and 20th at the Bush Convention Center Ballroom, 105 North Main. Calendar. Anyone can be Santa. Lighted Christmas Parade, Saturday, downtown. West Texas Shopping Expo, Saturday at the Horseshoe. Living Nativity at First Baptist Church, December 13th through 15th. Midland Community Band's Christmas Concert, 2 p.m. December 17th at the Wagner Brown Auditorium in the Allison Fine Arts Building, Midland College. Midland Teachers Winter Wishes Spectacular, 3 to 7 p.m. December 19th and 20th at the Bush Center Ballroom. All Midland teachers are invited to attend for free teaching supplies. Lone Star Brass Holiday Concert, December 20th at the Ray Great House Recital Hall at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. USPS deadlines. The following are 2022 holiday shipping dates for the contiguous U.S., recommended send-by dates for expected delivery before December 25th. Retail ground service, December 17th. First class mail service, December 17th. Priority mail service, December 19th. Priority mail express service, December 23rd. Three things to do in Midland. Take your four-legged friend to meet Santa. Why not let your pets enjoy some holiday fun, too? Midland Animal Services will host Santa Paws for all creatures, big and small, to get their picture taken with the treat-giving magic man. Supporting the Midland Animal Shelter, picture prices will be based on donation. For those wanting to snap a quick social media worthy shot on their phone, a $5 donation will be expected. For those wanting to frame the special moment, $10 can get participants 1 to 2 edited photos by the on-site photographer. To learn more about Midland Animal Services and the Midland Animal Shelter, visit https://bit.ly/3bgjhkx. Make sure to dress your fur babies in their best holiday attire. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 1200 North Fairgrounds Road. Decorate and munch on a personalized Christmas cookie creation. The holiday season currently resonates through the tall city with festive events around every corner. Whether you're looking to pregame the city's annual Christmas parade or just want a more adult-friendly activity, the Blue Door will host Brady Edwards, MISD program specialist, and in her free time, creative TikTok user for an ugly Christmas sweater cookie decorating extravaganza. The $25 ticket provides guests with 5 sweater-shaped cookies, icing, step-by-step decorating instructions, and a cookie box to take the handmade goodies home. To book a spot, Venmo at BRADIJAY with your name and event reservation. As always, wear your ugliest Christmas sweater and come packed with festive cheer. Specialty drinks will be available for purchase from the bar Saturday, 6 p.m. at the Blue Door, 4610 North Garfield, Suite D. Deck Woody's Hideaway Halls. In addition to an appropriately decorated establishment, Woody's Hideaway will debut its Christmas lights with a party starting at sundown. Reindeer Ring Toss takes over the patio, while seasonal drinks such as cranberry mules and warm cider take over the bar. Wear your most festive bar-going fit and get ready to welcome the holidays West Texas style. Woody's opens at 3 p.m., so make sure to get there early to have a good spot for the lighting display. With 50 beers on tap, more than 40 HD screens, a 150-inch HD big screen, games, bites, and more, every inch of the hangout will be flooded with cheer. Friday, doors open at 3 p.m., lights at sundown, 3701 Starboard Drive, Suite 5. What's up with Midland? At the Blue Door, ugly Christmas sweater cookie decorating, Saturday. At Centennial Park, Christmas parade, Saturday. At the Horseshoe Arena, Permian Basin Comic Con X, Holiday Edition, Friday through Sunday. West Texas Shopping Expo, Saturday. At Midland Animal Services. pet photos with Santa paws. Saturday. At Midland Community Theater. A Christmas Carol, Friday through Sunday, and December 16th through 18th. Museum of the Southwest. Holiday Tea, Friday. Christmas Open House, Saturday. Midland Downtown Farmers Market on the lawn, December 17th. At the tailgate, Sister Doe plus Modern Pop-Up Market, Saturday. At Tall City Brewing Company, Christmas Cookies and Beer Pairing, Saturday. Boss Babe Market, Christmas Sunday. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. The Nutcracker, presented by the Midland Festival Ballet, Saturday and Sunday. Mariachi Sol de Mexico de José Hernández, A Mariachi Christmas, December 14th. Nate Bargatze, The Rain Check Tour, December 15th. Still at the Wagner Knoll. The Illusionists, Magic of the Holidays, December 19th. Lone Star Brass, December 20th. Peppa Pig Live, Peppa Pig's Adventure, December 27th. Nutcracker, Magical Christmas Ballet, December 30th. Woody's Hideaway, Deck the Halls, Friday. Traffic alert, Lighted Christmas Parade to Cause Road Closures, by Mercedes Cordero. Midlanders driving through downtown can expect several road closures Saturday. In preparation for the Lighted Christmas Parade, road closures throughout the downtown area will start at 3:30 p.m. The parade will start at 6:30 p.m. on the east side of the YMCA parking lot. The intersections being closed for the event are Texas Avenue and Big Spring, Cuthbert and Colorado, Big Spring and Wall, Big Spring and West Missouri, South Lorraine and West Missouri, and Wall and South Lorraine. The intersections along the route will also be closed to traffic leading up to the start time until the end of the Lighted Christmas Parade. The parade will start on the east side of the YMCA parking lot with the following route: north on Whitaker, east on Cuthbert, south on Main, west on Ohio, and south on Colorado. The parade will end at Colorado and Missouri. Spectrum of Solutions Empowers Those with Disabilities, by Kelly Kingston, from Spectrum of Solutions. Spectrum of Solutions is in the business of empowering lives. Since its inception, Spectrum of Solutions, formerly known as MARC, has dedicated itself to supporting individuals with intellectual or developmental disabilities here in our local community. According to the Office of the Governor, Texas has the second largest number of individuals with disabilities of all the states. An estimated 50,000 plus of these individuals reside in the Permian Basin alone. With a need this large, Spectrum of Solutions' mission is to meet this head-on and serve as a community resource center. Spectrum of Solutions is only able to provide these life-changing services with the support of exceptional individuals like you. Because of you, Spectrum of Solutions will continue to support many children and adults in its programs. Please consider donating to Spectrum of Solutions. By doing so, you empower the lives of the wonderful individuals Spectrum of Solutions is so lucky to support. Spectrum of Solutions currently provides services to more than 120 adults in our residential and host home services, and more than 1,000 hours of services per month to 140 children and their families at our Children's Therapy Center. To donate online, visit spectrumofsolutions.org, or check donations can be sent to 2701 North A, Midland 79705.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, December 8th. Billy Appy Halbert Huckabee, age 81, of Midland, passed away peacefully on Tuesday, November 29th, after a six-year battle with Alzheimer's disease. She was born on February 18, 1941, to Harold and Nola Halbert in Midland. Billy graduated from Midland High School in 1959. Upon graduation, she attended Texas Tech University, but then had to move back home to help with an illness of a family member. She met the love of her life, Jim Huckabee, in 1958, and they were married on June 28, 1960. In 1975, she received a Bachelor of Science degree in education. Billy taught language and learning disabled children in the resource room at San Andreas and Clear Fork Elementary Schools in Andrews, Texas. In 2002, she retired from teaching after 27 years. She is survived by her husband of 62 years, Jim Huckabee, her daughter and son-in-law, Kathy and Kurt Kamrat, her granddaughter, Libby Kamrat of Fort Worth, Texas, granddaughter and grandson-in-law, Maggie and Paul Hickey, and a great-granddaughter. She is also survived by her brother and sister-in-law, Eddie and Vanessa Halbert of Kingsland, Texas, her brother-in-law and his wife, Tommy and Sylvia Huckabee of Stephenville, Texas, sister-in-law Janet Parker Halbert of Colorado, as well as several nieces, nephews, and friends. She is preceded in death by her parents, Harold and Nola Halbert, and her brother, Larry Halbert. A celebration of Billy's life will be held on Friday, December 9th at 2 p.m. at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel in Midland, with interment following at Rest Haven Cemetery. Memorial donations can be made to Hospice of Midland or the charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Elizabeth Ann Chester died Monday, November 21st, from natural causes. Elizabeth was born September 21, 1940, in Washington, Iowa, to William Howard James and Velma Lorraine Goodnight. She married Ralph Alman Chester on September 9, 1959, at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Kansas City, Missouri. Elizabeth was preceded in death by her husband, Ralph, and her eldest son, Chris. She is survived by her children, Scott and Deborah, as well as grandchildren and great-grandchildren, two sisters, Jean, Karen, brother William, also known as Bill, and numerous in-laws. Elizabeth was a member of St. John's Episcopal Church in Dallas before moving to Midland and joining the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity. Services will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, December 10th, at the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity, 1412 West Illinois Avenue in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Ellis Funeral Home. In lieu of flowers, Elizabeth's family would appreciate donations to your local food bank or your local children's hospital. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.ellisfunerals.com for the Chester family. Linda Meeks Wiest, age 83, passed away on Friday, November 25th in Midland. She was a resident of Cowden Cottage at Manor Park at the time of her death. A memorial service will be held on Saturday, December 10th at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home starting at 2 p.m. Her ashes will be interred next to her husband in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, at a later date. Linda was born October 19, 1939, in Fort Worth, Texas, to Jack and Lula Mae Meeks. At an early age, the family moved to Longview, Texas. Linda graduated from Longview High School in 1957 and from Oklahoma A&M, now Oklahoma State University, in 1961 with a degree in art. She met Harry J. Wiest in New York, and they married in Longview on December 7, 1963. They had no children. Harry J. died in 1997, and Linda moved to Midland in 1999. Linda was preceded in death by her parents and husband. She is survived by sister Jane Meeks Vetrano and brother-in-law Frank Vetrano of Midland, niece Linda Nichols and family of Midland, nephew Tony Vetrano and family of Spring Branch, Texas, and sister-in-law Caroline Cavanaugh of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. In lieu of flowers, please make contributions to Menor Park, St. Luke's United Methodist Church, Hospice of Midland, or a charity of your choosing. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Margaret Simmons. A newspaper reporter once wrote, "Peggy Simmons is the epitome of happiness, joy, and caring. She brings to education the magic of learning, which is her personal philosophy for every classroom. She brought these same qualities to all parts of her life, from her childhood to her last years in Texas." Born to Wayman C. and Gertrude S. Lawrence on March 9, 1928, in Columbus, Ohio, accepting the position of head of Trinity School in 1984, she moved to Midland, where she married Charles Edward Philip Simmons on July 5, 1985. During her 13-year tenure at Trinity, the school expanded greatly with the addition of a high school. She is survived by daughter Carol Elizabeth Buggy and Suzanne Lawrence Lego, stepchildren Andrea Lynn Simmons, Alexia Mary Simmons, and Damon Gerard Simmons. Please send donations to the Margaret and Charles Simmons Endowed Scholarship of Trinity School or of Midland College. Betty Shorty Williamson, age 90, of Midland, passed away on Wednesday, December 7th. The family will receive friends from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Friday, December 9th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held on Saturday, December 10th, at 2 p.m. at First Christian Church, with a private burial at Rest Haven Cemetery. David Paul Burnett of Odessa died on November 24th in Odessa. Celebration of life will be held on December 10th from 2 to 5 p.m. at American Legion in Odessa. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is December 8th, 2022. Board hears targeted improvement plans. The Ector County Board, ISD, Board of Trustees, heard presentations on targeted improvement plans from five campuses during their Tuesday workshop. Superintendent Scott Murray said, "The data set used is from 2017, and it's now 2022, and a lot of things have changed. Some of the boards are B-rated under state accountability standards today. The Texas Education Agency requires TIPS for schools who perform in the bottom 5% of Domain 3, closing the gaps, in the accountability system. This year, the campuses are Cavazos, Dowling, E.K. Downing, Ireland, and Sam Houston. The board is required to approve targeted improvement plans every year. Principals reviewed their essential actions and desired director of leadership, Susan Hendricks, said the next steps are board approval of the targeted improvement plans, continue the 90-day cycle review, tip plan, and artifacts, use artifacts and data collected from each cycle to determine the next 90-day action steps, monitor student data for progress. At the start of the facilities department presentation, staff was asked to stand to be recognized. One collapsed and was taken to the hospital. Superintendent Scott Murray said she would be all right. Director Gary Weatherford said he has 83 staff members. The department maintains 40 campuses and 19 ancillary buildings. We take care of 4.9 million square feet of campus that's under the roof, and then we have 433 acres of grounds. Weatherford said he has multiple departments that cover the whole spectrum of maintenance. The maintenance budget is $3,603,250. Director Gary Weatherford said 44% of that, or $1.6 million, is building supplies. 14% is contracted integrated pest management at $500,000. Contracted services is $1.25 million. 7% is department costs, or $250,000. That doesn't include salaries, Weatherford said. Ongoing projects include HVAC replacement, boiler and chiller replacement, sprinkler system, grounds, and LED lighting, among other items. The average age of the buildings is 50 years old. PBK Architecture, which has conducted facility studies for the district for bond issues, said the facilities are in good shape considering their age. The presentation showed the facilities department maintains all district buildings to the best of its ability using the available staff and budget. However, many of our buildings are in desperate need of infrastructure upgrades. The majority of the needed repairs are outside our scope of work and budget and will need to be addressed through other means, the presentation detailed. Overcrowding at certain campuses speeds up the deterioration. Very Merry Mojo Black Magic plans a Christmas show. Final rehearsals are being held and set. Put in place for Permian High School's Merry Christmas from Black Magic show, set for 7 p.m. Friday at the Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue. Ticket information is available at theector.com. This will be Black Magic's first Christmas show at the Ector. Black Magic is a pop, vocal, and instrumental ensemble. Director of Choirs Lori Wash said, there are a total of 22 Black Magic vocalists and band members in the show, 7 students working backstage, and 13 members of the PHS marching band joining in for one of the numbers. The set is decorated with flocked evergreen trees and 2 actual sleighs. The Ector Theater staff and volunteers have played a big role in making things go. Our Black Magic parents are just amazing. They helped to bring everything in. They were the ones that helped bring all of these trees in on Saturday, and you can see our sleighs. Our sleighs are actually from the East Coast, and they're actually real snow sleighs, but they have been set with casters so that we can run them here in the building, Wash said. Everybody's working really, really hard, but in a joyous manner. It's just been lots of fun to be working together with everyone, Wash said. She also expressed thanks to associate directors Stephanie Burton and Jeb Harris. Our head of audio is Gary Veith. He is amazing, Wash said. Asked what kind of music people can expect, Wash said, Christmas, out your ears Christmas. It is every different type of music that you can imagine. Many different genres, Wash said. It's a way of kicking off the season and offering a beautiful gift to the community, she added. They began working on the show in the fall. Wash said she is absolutely looking forward to the show. When the students come in for rehearsals in the evening and see the sets, they begin to see the pieces of the show come together. Watching their excitement is lots of fun. More than that, seeing their growth, hearing their growth vocally, and then watching them interact with one another, loving on each other, taking care of each other, that's the best part, Wash said. She added that she wished to thank the United Family Supermarket chain for their contribution to the program. 18-year-old senior Jaden Rankin has been in Black Magic since his sophomore year. He likes the idea of the show being at the Ector Theater, as it is normally held in churches. He also said this will be one of the best Christmas shows ever. I think having a new director always changes the atmosphere in some way, but I think Miss Wash has kind of revitalized the Christmas show and kind of given it more of a Christmas feel rather than sort of a play. I think this is a really loving environment that we've been in. I think this year's Christmas show is probably going to be one of the best ones, Rankin said. He added that attending the Black Magic Christmas show has been a tradition in his family, even when he wasn't in the group. It's a nice thing to look forward to. When Christmas time comes around, Rankin said. Odessan convicted of kidnapping, jury will decide sentence today. An Odessa man accused of kidnapping the mother of his child and holding her hostage for several hours last year was convicted by an Ector County jury Wednesday. He was also convicted of threatening her brother with a gun hours before the kidnapping. The jury, which took just 30 minutes to render its verdict, must now decide how much prison time Nathan Sandoval, 25, should serve. He's facing 25 years to life for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and aggravated kidnapping with a deadly weapon. The sentences will run concurrently. According to testimony in the 244th Ector County District Court this week, Nathan Sandoval impregnated Abigail Leyva when he was 20 and she was 15, and they broke up 2 years later while he was incarcerated. Assistant Ector County District Attorneys Kevin Schultz and Henry Eccles told jurors Sandoval desperately wanted to reunite with Leyva and their daughter and kidnap Leyva when she refused to speak with him. Leyva's brother, Edward, testified an armed Sandoval came to his Tanglewood Lane apartment in March 2021 demanding to know where Leyva was and refused to leave. Edward Leyva and his former girlfriend, Alexia Estrada, told jurors Sandoval pointed the gun at them at least once that night. Leyva testified she broke up with Sandoval because he'd grown into a hateful and violent person. At the time of the kidnapping, their daughter was living with Sandoval's mother while she worked two jobs hoping to make a home for herself and their daughter. She was waitressing in Midland and working as a dancer at Jaguars, an adult entertainment club, when she began getting texts from Sandoval expressing his anger at her for not speaking with him and for working at Jaguars. Schultz and Leyva read each of the texts to the jury. Sandoval made it clear he'd been stalking her and said she'd see what would happen if she returned to Jaguars. Not even the popo can save you, Sandoval wrote, apparently referring to the police. In another text, he said something would happen to the people she loved if she continued to strip, and in another, haven't you buried enough of your family already? In a Facebook message, he wrote, I can make this all go away if you talk to me. 36 hours after the incident with her brother and hours after the Facebook message, Leyva said Sandoval showed up outside her brother's apartment while she was sitting in a rental car. She testified he shot out the driver's side window to get inside the car and took her to West Odessa. They sat hidden behind a building on Hubnik Road for 5 hours until Sandoval heard a helicopter overhead, got scared and ran, she said. During those hours, Leyva testified, Sandoval kept the gun on his lap and she tried to be nice to him because she was afraid he'd shoot her. I thought I was going to die. I was terrified for my life, Leyva said. It was also for that reason, she told an Odessa Police Department crisis negotiator who called Sandoval shortly after she was taken, That she was okay, Leva said. After Sandoval ran away, she got a ride back to her brother's apartment from strangers she found on the nearby service road. Prosecutors also put Estrada, Leva's mother, and a neighbor on the stand, all of whom testified about watching Sandoval kidnap Leva. Jurors also heard from the crime scene technician who found broken glass and a bullet casing at the scene, the crisis negotiator, an OPD corporal who found the car, the officer who chased and arrested Sandoval a month after the kidnapping, and the detective who interviewed Sandoval on camera. Sandoval told detective and crisis negotiator Holly Hughes, Leva accidentally kicked out the window when she was moving from the driver's seat to the passenger seat, that everything was cool and his mom would drive her home when they were done talking. Sandoval told the detective Leva shot out the window with a pink revolver, and everyone was making a bigger deal out of the incident than it really was. He said he wasn't upset with Leva that day. He was just hurt she'd left him and was stripping. Sandoval also offered to identify a suspect in an unrelated shooting if the detective could get the aggravated part of his charges dismissed. During closing arguments, defense attorney Joanna Curry said the state has failed to prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt. She suggested to jurors that Leva and her family conspired against Sandoval and pointed out some inconsistencies in their stories. Curry argued the state couldn't prove the car had been shot that day, that the shell casing found at the scene was related to the case, or even that Sandoval was at the apartment complex or in the car that day. She didn't know him and wouldn't recognize his voice, Curry said. During his closing arguments, Scholes pointed out the inconsistencies in Sandoval's stories. He noted most of the glass from the broken window fell inside the car, not outside, which corroborated Leva's story. And he also pointed out revolvers don't eject shells. He also reminded jurors, there's evidence the bullet traveled through a passenger door speaker and out the door. The detectives couldn't link Sandoval to a gun because they never found it, he said. The witnesses' stories would be suspicious if they matched. They differ because they came from different perspectives, Scholes said. The neighbor had no reason to lie, and if Leva's mother was lying during her 911 call, she deserved an Academy Award, Scholes said. Scholes also urged jurors to compare Sandoval's voice during his interviews with the two detectives to that of the voice on a video Leva received shortly before Sandoval was arrested. Leva identified Sandoval as the man in the video wearing a Day of the Dead mask, waving a gun around and saying he was losing his patience with her, which she took as a threat. If Sandoval wasn't guilty, why then did he try to make a deal for a less serious charge during his interrogation? Scholes asked. There's no telling what Sandoval will do if allowed to walk free, Scholes said. Nothing will stop him but you, Scholes told the jurors. Mom ordered not to cremate boy. Ector County District Court Judge Justin Lowe ruled Wednesday a woman accused of murdering her son can make arrangements to bury the boy, but she cannot cremate him. Arturo Coca, 8, died November 5th, and his mother Megan Lang and his stepfather Rodolfo Reyes were arrested on suspicion of capital murder 12 days later after an autopsy revealed he'd been strangled to death and was severely malnourished at the time of his death. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths has said Arturo weighed 35 pounds when he died. Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan filed a motion asking Lowe to prevent Lang from disposing of Arturo's remains, noting the couple has not yet been indicted and the disposal could unduly interfere with his duties. During a short hearing Wednesday, Gallivan clarified he wasn't seeking to prevent the boy's burial, just his cremation. He said Lang had indicated she wanted the boy cremated. One of Lang's attorneys, Gavin Norris, said his client did not object to Gallivan's motion. Lang, 29, and Reyes, 33, are also each facing an injury to a child charge. They remain in custody on $3 million bonds. Lang did not attend Wednesday's hearing. Quick Hits Empty Stocking needs help. Have you ever needed a helping hand? Many in our community do need help this year, as a Merry Christmas meal and gifts for the kiddos are simply out of reach. As time winds down to fill the empty stocking fund, will you help the needy in Odessa with a Merry Christmas? The 28th year of the Empty Stocking Fund ends December 17th with a $100,000 goal to meet the needs in our community. The fund helps families who are struggling to make ends meet. Many are single moms and grandmothers trying to raise family in tough economic times. Funds donated to the Empty Stocking stay in Ector County and help needy families. The Empty Stocking Fund, an annual fundraising effort by the Odessa American and the Salvation Army, will continue through December 17th. Empty Stocking funds go for a holiday meal and small gifts under the tree for needy seniors and children. Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund may be mailed or delivered to the Salvation Army Community Center, 810 East 11th Street, or the Odessa American, 700 North Grant, Suite 800. Zip codes for both are 79761. Call the Salvation Army at 332-0738. The Empty Stocking Fund was created by the Odessa American in 1995 and has raised more than $2.1 million. Donate online at tinyurl.com/YUD3KC3T. Moving Sale, the Ellen Noel Art Museum of the Permian Basin, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled a moving sale from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. today through Saturday. There will be books, camera equipment, furniture, dinnerware sets, and more. These funds will contribute toward ENAM's Cultural Enhancement Program. Visit noelartmuseum.org. Volunteers needed. Keep Odessa Beautiful is seeking 20 dependable, hardworking, and attentive adults ages 18 and older to volunteer for the HEB Fest of Sharing event Friday at the Ector County Coliseum, Barn E. There are two shifts to choose from, or do both, from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. and from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Volunteers for each shift will be required to work the various recycling stations located throughout the event. To register, visit tinyurl.com/BDZR73CS. Junior League of Odessa Carriage Rides. The Junior League of Odessa will be offering Christmas carriage rides at 6:30 p.m. through Saturday and Monday through Wednesday at the Emerald Forest Subdivision, Shiloh Road. There will be horse-drawn carriage rides through the beautifully lit and decorated Emerald Forest Subdivision. Tickets start at $150 for a four-person private carriage. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/36NRRHW7.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.